Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 424, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, with me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
I missed you. It's been 2 weeks.
I know. You went on vacation.
I went on vacation. Your background's all different now.
I'm in a new place. I moved. And if you have a lot of computer stuff, moving is just not. I couldn't imagine. You probably have more stuff than I did because I got rid of a lot of things.
Yeah.
I essentially had a fire sale of a lot of things that were just sitting around. So
yeah, you were like, hey, do you need these motherboards or that, this and that? And I was like, nope. I don't need that.
Yeah. So I got rid of a lot of stuff, but moving, if you have a lot of tech, is,
just realize how many cables and everything.
Cables and just boxes of things. Like there were I had a box of CPU coolers that I had not opened in 4 years. It was just sitting there.
Yeah. Since you moved, right?
Yeah. Since I moved. Yeah. So,
yeah. Like,
yeah. So yeah, there's just a lot of stuff. I cleared out a lot. We're very streamlined now, which is good, in a new place. I'm actually really happy with the layouts, and maybe in a month or so, I'll do a video of like how I kind of have this room set up. You'll see it in future videos here on YouTube and on other places. And you'll see it, of course, in the background of all of our product photos, but I'm really happy. But it just took good thing you were off last week, because there was no way I would have been ready for the podcast, just setting everything up. And like, you don't think of the little things like this desk. You know, I have this desk fully wired, and I needed to rewire the desk after I broke it down and happened to do that and happened to reset everything back up. And it just takes so long to get set back up. But we're set back up. We're not, this place is still kind of a disaster. Like, I don't have a couch. I sold my old couch. I'm using this chair, the chair that you see behind me, as my couch. It does recline, and it's actually really comfortable. But that's my couch currently. And there's still a lot to do. I have some new additions. I have this low profile mic arm, so the mic's not in my face like it was before, which is nice. What else is new? Not much else, I think, as far as like
the new mouse mat.
Are you using? No, that's no. This was the Temu video that we did. Yep. So if you haven't seen that video, it's on our YouTube channel. We at Temu. I wanted to check out Temu tech products. Like, you hear Temu and you're like, is this stuff good or is this stuff not good? So we got like 5 or 6 products. Some of them were actually good. Some of them weren't. So check that video out. It is on YouTube. But yeah, beyond that, just lots of moving, lots of setting things up, and getting used to this kind of new space to create content. Yeah. That's like the whole idea is I want to be able to create a lot of content here. We just pushed out unboxing video of an Asus Z890 motherboard. So that's for the upcoming Intel launch that's happening this month. So that's really exciting. If you want to check that out, just a quick, video for social media, but it is on all of our social media as well as YouTube if you want to check that out. And I should have an overview video of that motherboard coming out before the 24th, which is of course the launch date for the Intel processor. So much going on this month. We have a ton of motherboards in for Z890. We have motherboards in for X870, X870E, along with some really cool products. I'm actually looking at one that we saw at CES that just came out as well, and some other just really interesting things. So lots going on. Of course, we're gearing up for holiday season. I'm going to be busy. Ryan has some stuff coming in as well. And it's just going to be busy. You said it was cold. You said it got cold.
Yeah, we had a freeze warning last night. And
let's get into that's work. Just it's over, at man. At some point. It's actually decently cold here, and the sun didn't come out today. I felt like I was back in Pittsburgh. I was like, what's
going on?
Yeah, like, what is this? It was cold today. So just so much going on here. We wanted to obviously keep you guys updated on what's going on, but lots going on. But if you guys do want to follow along, we're going to be talking about a lot this week because we were off for 2 weeks, and there has been a lot of leaks, a lot of news. Our whole show notes page is up. If you do want to go ahead and follow along, it is in the show notes. Or it is in the description of the video or the podcast if you want to check it out, but everything is there. So you can follow along with us, or if you're listening and you want to reference something, again, everything that we're talking about is linked here in the show notes. So let's just jump right into it. So I talked about X870, X870E, of course, that is the new chipset to support Ryzen 9000 series processors. Of course, it's going to support the 8000 series APUs, 7000 series CPUs as well. So if you weren't the biggest fan of the 9000 series, which I don't think a lot of people are, if you want to pick up a 7000 series chip, you can slot it into these new motherboards. They do have new features and just a lot of new ease of use things that we're seeing kind of trickle down to a lot of motherboards. So this is our first X870 motherboard review. It's the Gigabyte X870 Aorus Elite Wi-Fi 7. The big difference between the X870 chipset and the X870E is you're going to get two of the Promontory 21 chips on X870E. You're only getting one on X870. Essentially, you're getting less downstream PCI Express lanes on X870. So if you're not doing a whole lot, or you're not like making use of multiple Gen 5 NVMe SSDs or things like that, X870 works just fine. And you're going to save a lot of money because there's a massive bump up in price when it comes to X870 and X870E. So I think for a lot of people, X870 will be, you know, do just fine. And then you take that extra money and you put it towards a better graphics card or better CPU. And that's where you're actually really going to see the performance bump that you kind of want. So this is part of their Aorus line. So it kind of sits in the higher end of their product stack. But again, it's X870. So it's not in that massive, higher product stack, I would say. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I have not been a fan of Aorus motherboard design. It's just kind of, they were really flashy and they looked really good, but the last couple of generations, they've just kind of been a little boring, I would say, at least to me. So you get the black PCB here, as you can see, with the black and sort of gray accents. I don't know. What do you think about the design, Ryan?
Yeah, it reminds me of like, if this wasn't Aorus, like, I don't know, almost like a Asus Prime motherboard, right? It's just kind of like that, almost, I don't want to say bare bones, but just like that, I don't know, it does. Yeah, I agree, it's not as cool, I guess, looking as some of the earlier generations of Aorus boards.
Yeah, so again, it's just, to me, it's just kind of bland, but that's the kind of design that they've been kind of going with. It does allow this board to fit into a lot of builds, being all black. Sure. It's going to fit into a lot of things and just look, you know, all right overall. As far as our power design here, you can see the CPU socket, all of our power delivery components, which of course are covered by heat sinks here. You're going to have a 16+2+2 power phase design with 60 amp power stages. Again, not the most powerful out there, but it is going to handle the highest end AMD CPU no problem. And again, you have multiple heat sinks here to keep everything nice and cool there. Top part of the board, of course, gives you that rear I/O cover. No RGB lighting on this rear I/O cover or anything like that, just that Aorus logo. And as far as like on the edge of the board here, one thing that's nice that they did add was this HDMI port here. And that is so you can easily attach like a front or side mounted display. So if you had like a sensor display or something like that, you can easily attach it internally without having to go outside from like, say, a graphics card or something like that. You can easily attach that. So that's kind of nice. You do get internal USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 right here, which is nice. And you also do get a postcode display. I'm old school. I love my postcode display. It lets me know what's going on if I mess something up. So I definitely like that. Four SATA 6 gig ports, USB 3.2 Gen 1 header. Both of those are at a 90 degree angle, which is nice. One thing that's really nice to see on this board is a lot of ease of use features. What I mean by that is it's easy to take things out. It's easy to install things. So you see this button right here. This is going to release your top X16 slot here. We all know how much of a pain it is to try to get your finger. You got to use one of these long screwdrivers right here.
That's always dangerous.
And try to release this slot. So you have the button over here, which is really nice. So that's going to release that top slot. Also, all of your heat sinks are removable. You can see this little tab right here. You just release that. They come off. And then when you put them back on, they slide into this one down here, slides into these two little hooks, and you just press it down, and it just locks into place. The top one is very much the same. Of course, the top one is made for a Gen 5 drive. It is a bit thicker. But as you can see, we actually have four M.2 slots. The top is Gen 5, but the bottom two are also Gen 5. And then this one is Gen 4. Now, there is a caveat here. So you can see we have three expansion slots. This is your PCI Express 5 slot right here, which is the X16. And then you have two PCI, one's PCI Express 4, one's PCI Express 3. Now, if you do populate this slot and this slot, these two become inactive. So if you're running Gen 5 storage here and a graphics card, you lose these two slots. So that's the caveat with this drive. Or no, you don't lose these two, but this, if you do populate these two, this is going to drop down to X8. So if you want to run your graphics card at X16 speeds, something to keep in mind if you're fully populating all of these slots here. So something to definitely keep in mind. But like I said, lots of M.2 storage, which I like to see. Three Gen 5 slots if you really want to take advantage of that. Just your graphics card will drop down to X8 speed, so definitely something to keep in mind. They also have their ultra durable PCIe armor on this slot. So if you are running something really heavy, like a 4080, 4090, this is one, it's metal reinforced, but if you look at the back of the board, like this is what the back of the board looks like. So it's really reinforced in there. So you're not going to get any warping or anything like that, which is definitely nice, again, especially for those larger cards. As far as what we have going on in the back, 12 total USB ports on the rear IO. I know Ryan will appreciate that. With X870 and X870E, you're getting USB 4. So you're getting two type C's, which are USB 4. You're getting 6 USB 3.2 Gen 2s. And then you're getting four old school USB 2.0s here. And then the Wi-Fi. So you're getting Wi-Fi 7 on this board, which is really nice. But they've actually changed the connector. So if Ryan, I'm sure you know, if you ever have to plug in Wi-Fi antennas on a motherboard, you'd have to like go like this and twist them on. This just plugs in.
Yeah, it looked like a big plug there.
It's super easy, really easy to do. You're also going to get the Q-Flash plus button on the back here. So it's really easy to go ahead and do that. And of course, you have your audio 2.5 gig LAN on here as well. So lots going on this board. I love the ease of use features on this. Now, of course, we ran this through a ton of benchmarks. No problem at all. No VRM temperature issues. You can check out the results in the review. But it did really well. No issues at all. If you want to see what it looks like all set up, let's go to, where is that? So this is our test bench here, and this is what it's going to look like with a graphics card installed. You do get a tiny little bit of RGB lighting here, but not a lot.
Just a little.
There are three RGB headers on the board. You get two down here, or it might be four. Two down here, and I think two up top here. So you can, of course, add RGB lighting with strips and other things, but just a little bit. Remember, Aorus used to be like insane RGB lighting.
I was like trying to see where the lighting would be on this board, and
it's just it's just right here.
Not much.
Not a ton going on, but it's a good board overall. It has a good mix of different features. I think, again, the biggest thing is ease of use. No more looking for those little screws for your M.2s. Everything goes in easily. This is the RTX 4080 from Asus. It's a massive card, and I can just hit the release button and pull it out. That makes it really easy. So I really like this board. There wasn't much I didn't like. As far as the cons go, again, that top X16 slot does drop to X8 if you populate those two Gen 5 bottom slots, and their included software is just not great. It's the Gigabyte Control Center. If you have a Gigabyte product, you know it. It makes it easy to download like all of your software and BIOS and all that stuff. But as far as like motherboard control, you only really get like fan control and RGB fusion. It's not that in depth at all, really. So that was kind of my cons to this board. But this board is pretty affordable for what it is. It is currently $289.99, which isn't incredibly expensive for an X870 board. So I like I said, I would recommend it if you're looking for a X870 board, good mix of features, as well as just being really easy to build in or build on and everything like that. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. And then Ryan took a look at a microphone from a brand that a lot of us know. We always mm-hmm. watch these podcasts and we see this mic. It's like the iconic podcast mic, which is the Shure
SM7B.
So, but Shure has a specifically made gaming microphone, which is USB, which is their MV6 USB. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, like you mentioned, everybody knows like the Audio Technica, like with the AT2020 or the yes. SM7B from Shure. And this was actually, I couldn't find any products that you had reviewed from Shure in the past. I've never taken a look at them. So like, this was our first look at a Shure product, but it's definitely not our first like introduction to Shure, if that makes Correct. Sense, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows the name Shure if you've spent any time in any sort of audio environment. So I knew, you know, and like I start out the review, I'm like, quality, go-to solution, industry standard, right? Those are all types of things you can think of when the name Shure pops up. So I was really excited to take a look at this microphone. It is, like Bob said, a USB microphone. It's not XLR connected, but that USB connection makes it really easy to connect to your system, whether that's a PC, a Mac, a tablet or something like that, that can support an external USB microphone. So yeah, we took a look at the MV6 here. Pretty standard microphone, and honestly pretty basic when it comes down to it. You've got a couple features that we'll go over here in a moment. It's got a single polar pattern, which is cardioid, right? And that's what you expect from most microphones that only have a single polar pattern, right? It's going to be great for just that single audio source pickup, like a podcast or, you know, you're streaming or if you're singing, right? That one voice, right? It's not designed for 360 audio or front and back. It's just that single audio pickup from the front. So, and really not a lot of accessories that come with this. You've got a Type-C to Type-C cable that comes here. The connection on the back of this microphone is Type-C. One thing I wish they would have included, though, was a C to A adapter for just, you know, I'll say old school computers or people legacy devices. That sounds better than old school.
Just a
little bit of versatility in connection options, right?
That and the thing is too, you also have to think about as well is like, unless you're running a super high-end motherboard,
you don't have a lot of Type-C ports.
You have one,
right?
Or maybe a front panel if you've connected it. So and again, like, even on my, like, I have a hard drive plugged into my Type-C on the front. That's the only Type-C that I have here. So, yeah, having the versatility of the adapter would be nice.
Yep, absolutely. So that would be nice, but not a deal breaker by any means. They do also include a really sturdy stand, and I've got it right here actually with me. So this base is an all-metal base. It has a really nice green rubber. Let's see if we can get this to focus finally. It might not like that color. So this rubber around here, it's not super sticky rubber. You know how like some rubber feels stickier? It's got actually a pretty smooth surface to it. But the base and the microphone and the stand weigh enough that it's going to stay in place on your desk. So
nice.
It's got that with multiple thread types on there for you. Keeps it all together. Super easy installation. Like I said, it's just USB Type-C connectivity to your device. And then they offer their Motive Mix software, which you can download from their website. Plug and play, ready to go right out of the box. Nothing you've got to do to set this up. So yeah, here's a quick look at it on the stand. always like me a sticky base, says Taltosh. Yeah, just again, we've got a little bit of swivel with the microphone stand, and that is that connection here. I'll get to a better picture, but you do have some swivel there. We have a nice integrated pop filter and windscreen built into this microphone with that black foam piece there. I mentioned the heft of this altogether. The body of the microphone is all metal, so it's just like sturdy. There's no flex to this,
and it feels all. Like. I feel like Shure products, the ones that I've like messed with some of their mics and stuff. Uh-huh. It's like just like a good, it feels really, really good. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's I've looked at some mics, like even the one I'm using right now, the Wave from Elgato, right? It's a plastic body. It's got some flex to it. Right. And it's got some metal components, but this thing is like, it's a tank.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going anywhere. Right. And yeah, so with that windscreen off of there, that foam, it just kind of slides off. This green piece here is all metal as well. That's not like a plastic cage around there. It's solid metal, and it's protecting that interior capsule there. So yeah, it does a great job. And then even the capsule has a bit of a foam filter on it inside, you know, to help reduce those plosives, right? Those pee popping sounds that you're going to get or can get with some microphones. Yeah, all black design, but we've got this like green neon color to it. I really like that look. It's not overwhelming by any means, but I think I'm glad that they made the whole cage that green. If you ever take it off, it just looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
We do have the pretty much becoming a standard tap to mute function on the back of the microphone. It is lit up as well, or illuminated. It'll be red when it's muted, green when the mic is hot. Nice. The one thing, though, that was kind of weird is that it's upside down, essentially. So like when you're using the microphone, you're using it like this, right? You've got the capsule pointed towards you. But if you look,
you need a faster
zoom. Jeez Louise. Yeah,
there you go.
So that's upside down, which I mean, if you tip it towards you, yeah, now it's right side up. But if it's in the right orientation, it's upside down.
It would be kind of nice if you could like pull that off and
flip it over. Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be.
But you can't. But anyhow, it's just tap to mute like we've seen on so many other microphones, which is a super handy feature. And I would be disappointed if we didn't have it. Down at the base, we've got two ports. We have the inline monitoring for a 3.5 millimeter headset. Nice. So you get that instant feedback. You can hear exactly what the microphone is picking up, so you can monitor it yourself. And then you just have that Type-C port for connecting back to your device. I mentioned the mic stand that's built into it. So this whole piece here, and it's molded into the body. So it's not a metal piece that like screws in. So that stand is physically connected to the body of the microphone, which is really nice. Obviously, this is a plastic piece here that then can connect to a microphone arm if you don't want to use the stand that's included. But I just really liked that was a solid connection to the body of the microphone there. It's just, again, goes back to that like tank-like design of this thing. It's so sturdy. Setup, I mentioned it already. Super easy, plug and play. Plug it in, it shows up, and you can use the microphone right out of the box if you want, but you can also utilize Shure's Motive Mix software to make some adjustments to your audio. And one thing that I really like about this, and I've always been a fan of Elgato's Wavelink, well, Motive Mix has a very similar feature set where you can add multiple audio sources into a mixer of sorts and make those adjustments, choose your audio routing in and out, so on and so forth. So it gives
I feel like if you're making a gaming microphone these days,
you've got to make something like this
because for somebody who's even just a normal gamer who wants multiple things going on, or some gamers are streamers, or if you're doing podcasts like this, like
bring your music
you want that flexibility. And if you don't have something like this, you're just left in the, like, it's like just like AIOs that are just like PWM based, and then the ones that have software, it's like just completely left in the dust, I feel.
Yeah, so you can, you know, you can adjust, you can add your audio sources to this like soundboard here and make those adjustments inside of the software. So really nice to see there. But outside of that, there's not a lot of additional adjustment. We've got a couple items here. You can adjust some gain here. You can set auto leveling for gain. You can set your monitor mix depending on what you want to hear in your monitor, right? Do you want to hear a lot of microphone or do you want to hear your system sound? You can make some adjustments there. Some tone changes, the denoiser and popper stopper, right? The popper stopper is like a digital enhancement to the microphone to assist with those physical filters to keep those pops out, which is kind of nice. And you've got a high pass filter there as well. Using this microphone, I think it sounds great. I did a quick, like, I don't know, I think it's like 30 second recording here of an audio sample. You can compare that to all the other microphones we've looked at recently, including, you know, XLR microphones and USB based microphones. Just a great sounding microphone. You've got the quality of Shure backing this up. So I definitely recommend listening to some of those and just kind of comparing and seeing what you think of those audio recordings. But yeah, overall, it's a great microphone. You know, like I said, it was our first introduction to an actual review of a Shure product. They knocked it out of the park. Nice. I have no real complaints here other than the price. It's a little high. It's $150 for this microphone, which based on like the feature set and like onboard controls feels a little high, but you've got that Shure quality and like the backing of just Shure's reputation to kind of go with this. Motive Mix is lacking in a couple places as well. It's pretty good, but there's a couple of things I would have liked to see out of that software to make it a little more robust. But the nice thing about that is the software can always be updated and changed, so they can always add to that with later revisions. And then that mute sensor not being visible during use, and it's upside down, but it's right there on top. You're going to feel it. No big deal. So
yeah,
love this thing. It's pretty sweet.
Nice. Well, definitely check out Ryan's review. And definitely, if you're any of our audio reviews, check out the samples, because that's really going to allow you to see how it sounds. And Ryan does a really good job of just going over, you know, his voice is a good voice for audio. So he's really good at going over the microphones and kind of what they offer. So, and again, you can see how many microphones.
We've got like 20 microphones here.
Yeah,
right?
A ton of microphones. Reviewed. So it gives you an idea. And for some people, it's all about what you like. So there might be a microphone in that list that you actually like over the Shure, right? And you're like, oh, I didn't even know this sounded like this. Maybe I'll pick this one up. So
absolutely.
Definitely go ahead and, like I said, check Ryan's review out. And yeah, it's cool. It's cool to check out a Shure product. So
yeah. Calcho says I have a face for audiobooks. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh man, low blows here. Taltosh did say that Amazon has the G9 OLED on sale for $950 today. I think Ryan should get it. Ryan should buy himself an early holiday present
I'm good.
He should get rid of all the screens that he has and just go for the
one, right?
One big one. Like I have one big one here and it's the perfect thing. If you, and it just makes your setup look nice and clean. Ryan, you can do it.
I'm good.
Yeah. Well, Taltosh, we can't get him on the ultra wide gang here. Not yet. Super ultra wide gang. But we'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And we're going to do two builds because we were gone for 2 weeks and both I wanted to feature. One I sent to Ryan. Noctua, right? Everybody knows Noctua. I know Noctua. And everybody knows the color of Noctua. And I would say that this is one of the most Noctua color themed out builds that I've seen. And we've seen some in the past. And we feature some in the past. But this one, as I bring it up here, this one is definitely all Noctua, man. This is all colored like Noctua. Even the
display here, the display corners,
is designed like a set of, well, it has the Noctua colors, but it also has like the vibration dampeners that you find on the Noctua fans. It's all really designed, and almost everything except for the motherboard and memory is like Noctua. They even have the Asus Noctua graphics card in here. So this
is Pro R board though, so it's got a little bit of like, it's black and gold, right? So I mean,
this is pretty much as close as you can get. But this is by J Custom, and man, it's just every, like, you can see the colors here on the cables for Noctua.
They did a good job with all the color matching, right? The radiators have been like powder coated or painted, the frame of the case. Yeah,
it just looks great. If you're a Noctua fan, this would be it. Now, other people say this looks like puke. But if, yeah, it's just a great Noctua build. I think it's one of the better ones that I've seen. I love this. This, like, how cool is that, that they made the display look like almost like a big fan? I mean, it's super cool. I've never seen anybody do that on a Noctua build. So really awesome to see that. Check that one out from J Custom. And then the next one is from Minibot PC. He actually sent this one over to us. So shout out for him for shooting me a message on Instagram with this one. This one is called the Blackout build. And there's a couple things. It kind of looks like a transformer, but it also kind of looks like an engine. And there are some really cool features on this. One of the ones that really stood out to me that I can find a picture of, it's kind of hard to see, but the... it has that CPU block with the hidden connector. Right. So there's, you don't see any cabling for their, or tubing for the water cooling going into the CPU block because it goes through the motherboard, which is awesome. But yeah, this one just looks crazy. And I love that, like, the tubing here is like this sleeved kind of tubing. It's not hard tubing. I really, really like that. Four separate radiators here that each have a fan, which kind of makes it, I don't know, just gives it this.
Yeah, I like that look of splitting up those radiators. I think that's a cool feature.
And you can see the block here just looks awesome on this.
Quick release fittings there. That pump is awesome.
Yeah, the way, there's a picture, let me scroll through and find it, of the pumps and how they're like, ultra symmetrical. Like, look at that. There it is.
Yeah.
With everything kind of going together here. Just a great overall build too. And these are the reservoirs, of course. Everything just looks awesome. Of course,
Does each side have three radiators? Because there's another one on the...
Yeah, okay. Three. And I guess those make up part of this. Like, that's what kind of holds it up a little bit too.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have three. So you have six total radiators on each one of these.
Yeah, like, this is cool.
Yeah, this is just cool little bit. It would be huge sitting on your desk, but it is definitely an awesome build. So definitely check this one out. Shout out to Minibot PC for this one. If you guys do want to just like search through all of the Case Mod Friday builds, we feature a build every Friday on the site, and we've been doing it for years now. On the site, you just go to articles and you go to Case Mod Friday, and then there are a ton. And again, if you're not familiar with a new site, if you just keep on scrolling, things will load. So, I mean, look at this.
I love that feature. I love that on this new site design.
Yeah, so you can scroll for like ever because we have so many Case Mod Friday builds, but there's just so many. So if you want to scroll through these, get some inspiration, or you just want to check out what you can do with PC components, this is the way to do it. So much stuff on the site for that. So... let's jump into news. So essentially news, we're going to talk about RTX 50 series because there's been a lot of leaks. We're going to talk about Core Ultra 200K series. There's been a lot of leaks on that. And we're also going to talk about Ryzen 9000 X3D series because there's been a lot of leaks on that and a couple new products that have come out as well. So we'll start with RTX 50 series. It looks like it's going to launch in Q1, which was kind of expected. I assume we're going to see it at CES.
I hope so.
Yeah, that'll be really great for it. Because we haven't had a good graphics card launch at CES in a while, I feel.
Yeah, my first CES, 2018, was like the 2060, I think.
But
was
that's just not like out.
And then like, but it's not like your flagship, like, hey, this is this line's launch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... according to the latest leaks, RTX 5090 and 5080 will launch in January. So then RTX 5070 and 5060 in March. So I kind of like launching the big graphics card first. It builds up the hype and gives you like, this is the top of the line, most powerful thing. And you got to wait a little bit to get like the kind of mid-range products. Yeah, and I think like the 5090 is just going to be crazy. We have some kind of specs here. Again, this is all based on leaks and things like that. RTX 5090, 32 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory. So,
do you want to share that screen?
Oh, hey. Is it, 2 weeks? 2 weeks off. I'm a little rusty on the podcast. I feel.
There we go.
Talter says 5090. You mean Titan 2? Yeah. 32 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory. Power consumption has been bumped up for again, this is all speculative, but from 450 watts, which was the RTX 4090, to 600 watts, which is going to be the 5090. And again, that's why we did see some leaks or some speculation that the 5090 will have two of the 12VH PWR power connectors, because those power surges, you want enough power, but two, you want it to kind of regulate between those two. Sure. So you don't have all the power just going through one of those connectors. Moving down to the RTX 5080, that's going to be 16 gigabytes of GDDR7, 400 watts power consumption on that. 5070, 12 gigabytes of GDDR7, 250 watts. And then the RTX 5060, we don't know how much memory or there has. I mean, I would kind of speculate 10, maybe 8.
Yeah, that's a good question. I doubt they're going to give us 12, you know, to match the 5070. I think you'd be too close in performance for them to like segment it. So yeah, 8's probably a good guess.
Yeah. We want 10, they'll give us 8, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the power consumption will be lower on that. I'd probably say,
I mean, I'd love to see like 16 gigs on the 5070 and see 12 on the 5060, but
yeah,
we're running that. Nice. Unfortunately, not the way they're going.
So that's all supposed to be coming in January. So as we get closer, there's going to be more and more leaks, which is exciting. And then we do have some more information on the 5080 and 5090 as far as core counts go. Obviously, the 5090 is going to be the big boy, right? That's going to be the top of the line card. As much as we would like to see a Titan, I don't see a Titan happening. It's just there's no real market for the Titan. So 5090 to have 21,760 cores. The RTX 5080 is going to have 10,752 cores. So essentially, the 5080 is cut in half. You know what I mean? And again, you're getting, 16 gigs on the 5080, but you're getting 32 gigs on the 5090. So just like this generation, the 40 series, the 5090 is going to far outpace all of the other cards. The 5090 is just going to be, if you want the top of the line thing that's going to blow everything away by a lot, that's going to be the 5090. 5080 is going to be more mainstream. As much as it's still going to be a awesome card, it's going to be the more, if you want kind of the top of the line and you don't want to spend, I mean, who knows what these are going to cost, but I mean, the 4090 was what, 1600 when it launched, and the 4080 was 1000 or 1200. So it's going to be a big price difference between the two as well. And again, increased power, which is kind of expected as well. So yeah, these are shaping up to be some good cards. I think it's just, we kind of know what to expect, right? I don't think there's going to be anything that's really going to necessarily blow us away with the 50 series. It is going to be a nice bump in performance, just like we saw with the 40 series. We know how the kind of line goes down as far as, you know, 5090, 5080, 5070, 5060.
Prices. I don't think we have a story on it, but I was seeing some like kind of disappointing speculative performance of the 5070 compared to the previous generation, unfortunately. So I don't know. I'm really kind of curious on that one.
Well, that's the thing that we saw with the 40 series too, is that they like blew it out of the park with the 5090 or 4090 specifically.
Right.
And even the 4080. But then once you got down into those mainstreams, it was like, and we were paying $400 for like a 1080p card. You're like, what's going on? So Taltosh says, the new NVIDIA 5090 nuclear power plant sold separately. Consult your local region for laws and regulations. Yeah, it's going to be like the this shows my age. The Voodoo 5500 that you had to physically plug into the wall. It had a like a power cable that you would have to plug into the wall. We're getting there. Talto says he keeps seeing 2500 as the leap. That's a big jump.
Yeah, I did see that, but then I saw that kind of walked back like a day or two later. So
I just don't see, like, 1600 is still a lot, but you were the performance, you were getting a lot for sure. That money, whereas like 2500, even with
that's a lot
inflation and all that's a lot of money. That's like a whole PC essentially.
That's a whole really nice PC. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, how much more powerful is it over the 4090, right? Like, it's
right. Right.
You know, so that's the thing that you kind of have to consider with that. So yeah, those are the big 50 series leaks. I'm excited for it though. I love new graphics cards. We love to see how much things get pushed as far as power and everything like that. So we'll obviously, as we get closer, you know, we will keep you guys updated on all the leaks.
Yeah. If they're at CES, we will show them for sure.
We will do what we did last time. We'll show everyone. And then Ryan's going to have to run back in the room
and
retake all the photos, because he has an Android phone. It's just one of those things, you know? Yep. So moving on to Intel. So we have some good news and some not so good news for Intel's upcoming Core Ultra 9 285K. That is going to be the successor to the 14900K. I know these numbers, Intel just confuses us, but the Core Ultra 9 285K is the high-end chip. That is the flagship chip. That is going to be the essentially the 15900K. That's what it's going to be. So one, somebody tested it and put that result up on Passmark, and it held the single-threaded CPU mark, single threaded performance, highest end benchmark. So it beat out the previous number one, which was their own Core i9 14900KS, as well as the Apple chips in there too. So yeah, and it's also beat out the Ryzen 9 9950X, which is currently their top high end chip out there. So that's good single threaded performance.
Yeah,
good to see. Obviously good to see that it's beating the previous generation as well.
Right.
You definitely want to see that. But our next story about the Ultra, I can't get used to saying this, Ultra 9 285K.
Just got to get through like one cycle of it and then it becomes normal.
Then we'll get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
These leaked slides show that the Ultra 9 285K will be slower than the Core i9 14900K in gaming, which, of course, a lot of people buying this new chip, that's what they're really concerned with, is gaming. So you can see this chart here, and you can see where the 14900K is, and this is all in China. I think this is Chinese. I'm not sure. But it does, like, the 14900K is here, and in certain games, it's 13% worse, 8% worse, 7% worse. And then it's on par. These still are below the bar, but they say on par. But then it is, you know, up to 15% better in F1 2023. I don't know what these other games are.
But you've got some power savings, right?
Yeah,
like
that's
some of those are like the one game was what 4% better, but at 165 watt power savings. So all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you never want to see worse performance than the previous gen.
Yeah, like Cyberpunk, Far Cry 6, Final Fantasy, it's gonna be less. But again, we also, this is kind of, you know, early testing, and there's driver updates, there's BIOS updates for motherboards that support this. There's a lot of things so to keep in mind, I'd say. Here we can see the comparisons against the, what are we comparing? Why can't I read these graphs?
It was the 7950 X3D.
Wow, right in front of me. Can't read. 7950X3D. You can see where it kind of sits here as well in certain games and all of that. And certain benchmarks like Blender, Geekbench, Cinebench, all that kind of stuff. And against the 9950X, where that sits as well. So, you know, our first story on it, you can get a little excited. The second story, I don't know. But I think as we talk about the AMD stuff, you'll see that I think this generation is more about efficiency than crazy. We're getting 15% across the board performance, 20% across the board performance. We're getting a little bit better performance, but we're getting that at a lot better power savings. I think that's what we're kind of going to talk about. So first, a screenshot drop showing that the upcoming Ryzen 7 9800X3D, so that's the chip 3D V-Cache. That's the one that's, if you're a gamer, that's the AMD chip that you want. This is not released yet. But that's kind of what everybody's been waiting for as far as the Ryzen 9000 series. It's supposed to clock up to 5.2 gigahertz across all cores. Somebody was running Cinebench, and they're showing, it's kind of hard to see, but they're showing that all cores are running at 5.2 gigahertz when they're running that multi-core benchmark. So that's kind of nice, 5.2 gigahertz across all cores. The case, we don't know. This is just, you know, they could set this or they could, you know, but that is kind of a nice thing to see there. These are supposed to be, or this chip specifically is supposed to be announced October 25th, which is the day after the Intel launch. So that maybe they'll Friday. Be like, maybe they're going to be like, hey, this performs better in gaming than their top end chip. That's kind of what we're expecting from AMD. I would kind of guess that's why they set the dates. That's our next story. Actually, they set it on the 25th. I think that's going to be the thing. They're going to say, okay, Intel's finally official. We can tell you that this chip, the Ryzen 7 9800X3D, is the fastest gaming chip possibly. We don't know, but
yeah, it's like one day Intel's the lead, next day AMD's the lead, right? Like, it's,
yeah, and then
how they time these things is great.
Intel will have their highly binned 285KS, if that's what they're going to call it.
Yeah, it'll come out later.
It's going to come out later or anything like that. But now we also have some leaked stuff for these 9000 series X3D chips from MSI. That show that it's not necessarily great as far as like performance goes, as if you compare it to like the 7000 series X3D, 11% better, 13% better in Far Cry 6. It's not showing like that great of, you know, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, 4% better.
Keep in mind though, that's at 1080p, it looks like, right?
Yeah.
So you bump that up to like 1440 or 4K, you may see those performance differences start to become more apparent, I think.
Yeah, and here's, you can see the Cinebench scores. 28% better in Cinebench for the compared to the 7800X3D. If you're comparing the Ryzen 9 7950X3D, it's 16% better, you know. So I don't know. I think this generation, it's not going to be crazy, crazy better performance. We're going to see just that better efficiency, right?
Yep.
And I honestly think it's a good thing because, you know, remember when it used to be like, oh, you just need an air cooler. Now you especially 13th and 14th generation Intel, yeah, specifically,
360.
You needed a 360, because I used to have a 280 AIO for CPU testing for like the longest time. And it was like, I have to get a 360 now. And even a 360, like some of them, you needed like the really nice one or you weren't going to get that, you know? So I think with this next generation, having something that is going to be able to boost to those clocks and be able to do that at less power draw is a good thing for most people. Sure. Because you have something that's going to have this crazy performance, but you probably won't hit it because all right. your thermals are going to be out of control and it's right. just going to thermally throttle anyways. So I think it's a good thing, as much as we always want that 15 to 20% generation over generation performance. You're not going to get it with either of these, I don't think. Yeah. So, but I think it's a good thing, especially for us testers, because trying to keep chips under control is it's a hard thing, especially when you're kind of limited. I guess they do. They are making 420 millimeter AIOs these days, but
that's like, it's so huge. And then you're like, you've got to have these huge cases and yeah.
So, talking about motherboards and Ryzen 9000 series, NCXT has their N9X870E. I always like the look of these boards, from NCXT. I believe these are made by BioStar. But if you're doing like an NZXT build with one of their cases, one of their AIOs, these look awesome.
I remember when these first came out with the shielding or the cover over all of it. It was like nobody else had done anything like that.
Yeah.
Are these BioStar or like ECS?
One of the two. I forget, to be honest. But like if you're building in one of their cases, have this motherboard, the colors are going to match, everything's going to match and look great. Look how clean that is.
Yeah, looks
super
great.
Clean. It's going to look really, really good in their system. So yeah, it's, and I really like that NZXT didn't like, you know, every other motherboard manufacturer has like 15 boards per chipset.
Right.
They have,
I just gave you everything.
They have one board per chipset and it's a good board. It's going to match all their components. I like it. So they just came out with this, of course. And then we also had Corsair finally put out availability of their cases. I call this the case they don't make anymore. They don't make cases like this barely ever. So this is their IQ Link 9000D. It's the one that you can do this, the massive dual radiator at the top.
This thing has like rails on it to easily install components. It's wild.
Yeah, it reminds me. What was that case company that went out of business?
Case Labs?
Yeah, it's like, it reminds me of a Case Labs case. I mean, it's just that big.
Yeah, sort
of. It's a big monstrosity of a case. You can do dual 420s, I believe, in the front and dual 420s in the top.
Then there's like two 120s in the back.
Yeah.
Is it two in the back or? Yeah.
Yeah. Or no. Or is that a reflection? I see
that one there.
I think it's a reflection.
Oh, a reflection off of the, yep.
Yeah, motherboard. But yeah, look at this thing.
It's huge. I mean, these cases are like,
And I believe this case also supports like a mini, you could put a mini ITX motherboard.
Yeah, it supports two. Yeah, dual systems.
Yeah, look at this thing.
How much does that weigh? That build right there with those big radiators. What is that? 4, 8, 60, like 30 some fans.
Wonder how much just this costs just in fans.
Oh, I know. Fans and controllers. You got to control them with something. They have their nice pumps with the screens, right?
This thing probably weighs at least 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I always think, like, I always love these massively big cases. But
even mine's a pain to move around.
It was just so nice because I have the Lian Li O11 Dynamic Mini, and it's just so easy to move around with this thing because it's just, like, tiny. Yeah. Just having something massive like this, oh, man. But I would love it. Don't get me wrong. I would absolutely love it, but it's huge. And you can see the rails here to install all of your fans and radiators here. These almost look like rails that would be on like a rack, like a server rack.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that, you know, that all slides out so you can mount components and slide it back in.
And that's for the front too. So you don't have to take off the front panel. to install your front mount. That's really cool, actually. And you can see the back here. You got all the
door
this...
covering everything. You've got to have, like, I guess if you're using the IQ Link fans, you don't have to have as many controllers. So that's why they're probably showing it there with the.
Yeah. It comes with the control, like the controller.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking back to like mine. It was just the standard, like, I have two Commander Pros in here controlling all these.
I was about to say, I bet this is $4.99, and it is $4.99. You can get in black and white.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Yeah, but it doesn't ship with any fans.
True. And there's no, like, I wish it was, I don't think it is anyways, that top, you know how the top has like the, maybe it is aluminum on the top, but I wish it was, I wish they would do like a high-end materials version of this as well.
Yeah, I don't know what the front panels are. Maybe this one's a little, I don't know. Not sure, but still pretty badass. So Corsair came out with that this week. What else do we have for as far as news? Oh, so talking about power, right? New graphics cards are supposedly coming out in January.
Yep.
Asus ROG released their new Thor 3 power supply series. The Thor power supply series have been very well known, not only for reliability and they're a good, very well made power supply, but on top of that, they look really awesome as well, sitting in your system. Even if you have one of those windows that Ryan hates on
cases. This is the only power supply I think looks good in a window.
Yeah, so this is the Thor 3, fully modular, but they have something really cool. So most power supplies, as far as their like load and everything like that, it's all based on your CPU, right? But, of course, over the last couple of generations of GPUs, that pulls a lot of power, especially with the 4090 and upcoming 5090. What it's going to do is it directs, you can see in this little graph here, but it has a sensor for GPU voltage that connects directly to the cable that connects to your graphics card. And basically, this is Asus says they're, it's called GPU first voltage sensing technology, allows units to detect voltage based on GPU instead of the CPU. Power delivery is adapted more quickly as GPUs demand change, helping ensure stable, optimal performance. So that's good. It says the intelligent voltage stabilizer enhances voltage delivery by up to 45% versus a PSU without that feature. So the new Thor power supplies will have this feature. And I think it's good, especially if you are going to possibly buy a new 5090. Specifically, we've seen, we called it Meltgate with all the power fluctuations from the power supplies and things like that. So this is going to be very well equipped for that. And you can even, with certain systems, you can also see where like there's a voltage fluctuation that's really messed up, because the GPU is pulling a lot more and the power supply just takes too long to adjust to it. So this is going to be a nice feature. 80 plus platinum on these and 80 plus titanium on the 1600 watt. So I assume 1600 watt, they're getting prepared for the 5090, 1200 watt and 1000 watt units as well. But this thing looks great. Metal exterior, as you can see on here, it looks awesome.
And you can swap that screen right to either side, so if you need to have it in a case where the fan's on top, you can have that oriented correctly, flip it over, move it to the other side. This is great.
And it has the new 12 this is the newer one, the 12v2x6, and then this is that little sensor for the GPU right here that will plug in. So yeah, really, really cool to see this from Asus. And they do a lot of things that kind of go under the radar that we find out about later, but it's cool to see this kind of tech. And it's definitely going to help with power delivery and stable power delivery to those upcoming graphics cards. I think they're kind of preparing for this ahead of time. So it's definitely good to see that. And it's definitely good to see because like when RTX 4090 launched, there wasn't many power supplies that had that direct 12VH PWR power connector, and you had to get the adapter, and then like certain power supplies just had issues with fluctuations and all of that. That's why we did get a lot of issues with that connector. So it's good that you'll have this before the 5090 comes out. And if you are thinking about buying the 5090, you can pick up this power supply at the same time, which is going to be great. And then finally, Call of Duty Black Ops 6. PC trailer's out. System requirements are out. Preloading info's out. I've never really, beyond like the original Call of Duty, I just never got into it.
Did you play like COD4, like the original Modern Warfare?
Maybe, I don't remember.
Because that was like modern, right? Call of Duty 1 and 2 were...
Yeah, like... I played 1 and 2. But I've never been on like the Call of Duty, because I mean, the Call of Duty community is massive, but I just have never really been into it.
Yeah, I stopped after Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, but PC trailer's out if you want to check it out. System requirements and launch details. So you can preload this on October 21st, and then it will launch on the 24th. I don't know if there's early access for certain people. Oh, I'm not sure. But you can see the launch times. It's really cool that they made this map and everything of all the launch times and everything like that. And then as far as your system requirements go, minimum system requirements, Ryzen 5 1400, Intel Core i6600, which is good. 8 gigabytes of RAM for graphics cards, really low. Intel Arc A580, 2 gigabytes of video memory, and an SSD with 102 gigabytes available. So you need...
It's a big game.
Yeah, it's a big game. If you want to play at 4K, they're suggesting a Ryzen 7 2700X, which still is not, you know, and an Intel Core i7-8700K, 16 gigabytes of RAM, 6800XT on the AMD side, RTX 3080 or 4070, and 10 gigabytes of VRAM on there. So not crazy as far as...
No, CPU requirements are actually pretty conservative.
Yeah.
In my opinion, right? That low end minimum was a 5000 series Intel i5.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think most of us should be fine.
I mean, yeah, 2700X, right? The only piece that I'm missing there is the GPU recommendation, but, you know. Yeah, Tacho said he blows the competitive out of the water, so.
Yeah. Yeah, same. So, but yeah, that's for Call of Duty. Maybe I'll play it. I don't have time. I always say that.
You don't have time for this.
I don't have time to play the games. So that is it for news for the week. Coming up next week, I am taking a look at a CPU cooler from Scythe. This is their Mugen 6 Black. Let me see. I didn't link it. Black Edition. I'll just bring up... Oh, wait. Let's bring up this one. So this is the Black Edition of the Mugen 6. I already took a look at the Mugen 6. The original version is just ugly. It's just all silver here. This is the Black Edition with the black fans. Looks it looks really good. So I'll have a look at that. I might have another product, but we'll see. And, you know, next week, a lot of Intel-related things. So coming up. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. That brings us to the question of the week. So we've talked about AMD's Ryzen 9000 series. Now, those are out. Yep. Intel 200K series is not out, but we've seen the leaks. If you were building a new system with either of those parts, which would you build in?
Okay, so the fanboy side of me would go with the AMD side. The just like watches tech news and keeps abreast of things, I'd probably still go AMD, because, and the only reason for that, I think, for the most part, is the troubles that Intel had with their chips melting, right, on previous gen. So like, I'm sure they've fixed that issue with this new series of chips, but it like leaves a lingering bad taste in your mouth, right? You don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, they've got it fixed, I'm gonna go with this new Intel chipset, right? And new Intel CPU, and then like, oh, we forgot to change this thing and my CPU melted, right? So I think that's the route I would go. AMD, either way.
Taltosh says AMD, and he said Intel burned any bridges with 12th and 13th gen. Yeah, I mean I've been pretty happy since I made the switch to AMD with this 5950X system. I haven't had many major issues with it. And I honestly you know, we're expecting to see the X3D part at the end of this month. It would be kind of fun to play around with that. I've never taken a look at any of those X3D parts. So I think I would build a system with that X3D parts, you know, and all the AMD boards look great. I have like three sitting here that I haven't taken a look at yet. X870E boards. So they look awesome. And I don't think there's, we always talked about having parity between the motherboards, and we're very much at parity as far as like, if you're getting the Strix board on the Intel side from Intel, from Asus, it's almost the same as the Strix board from on the AMD side. So I really, yeah, I think I would go AMD. Not that I have anything against Intel. I just, I really want to check out an X3D part, and that's kind of what I would do. So yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, and I mean, outside of like day-to-day use of your computer, like your other major uses of it are like you do a lot of video editing and then gaming, right? Like your day-to-day stuff. Not that you do a ton of gaming, right? Like you said, you're busy, but when you do, you want to have that performance. So taking a look at that X3D part. Yeah. That's...
And then Pseudoscientist in the chat, he says, I'm waiting for reviews, but I'm going with Intel. I try to get into AMD, that 9000 series came out. And the AMD fanboys went full tard. Can't associate with them. Yeah, like that's the thing is too, is like there's super fanboys on each side. Obviously, reviewing the products, I get to look at both and kind of see. But I have been happy with AMD as far as like chipset goes and motherboard features and things like that. But I think if you're spending money on either side, if you're spending money for the highest end, you're going to be happy on either way.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. And like we mentioned earlier, right, you've got that thermal load to think of as well, right, where you've got a, okay, now I can't reuse my case because I don't have room for a big enough AIO or something like that, right? Yeah. So all those things you have to take into consideration for those current gen parts.
Yeah, yeah. So anything else tech-related you've done lately? You do anything fun? Anything else you want to talk about?
I think I'm finally retiring this.
We can't see it because you know.
Well, it's also black.
And is that a phone?
No, this is the original Asus Nexus 7 tablet, and I've had it on my desk for I don't know last couple of years because it stopped getting updates. I mean, this thing's 12 years old, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But this was like the Android tablet to have back in the day. It's a 7-inch, so I mean, it's like my phone is. Yeah. Almost as big as it now, but it was like the perfect size. I love this thing. And I noticed we were getting ready to go on our trip this last weekend, and I was down here and I moved this around and it felt a little thicker than normal.
Oh yeah, battery's gone.
And I can tell there's a little bit of battery bulge in it, and I didn't feel comfortable leaving it plugged in while we were gone with that bulge, right? So I'm retiring this thing finally. I mean, it's slow now, like it's with all the updates has gotten, like, but the only thing I do with it, it's always sitting here plugged in, and I use it as my podcast monitor and stream monitor on Wednesdays. That's the only thing I do with it. Like it runs YouTube and Twitch. Those are the only apps I use it for. I've gotten my money's worth out of it. Right. But no, I loved this thing. And I think if I remember
are you getting a new one?
No, because I don't have any real use for it. You know, when I got it, it was a time when, I don't know, I felt like tablets were still something you had in addition to your cell phone. And I'm not a big like iPad person. I don't, you know, my kids have iPads, but I've never been a big tablet person after this, because phones got so good that you didn't need the processing power of what a tablet could provide, because it was larger and could, you know, had more battery and all those advantages of a tablet. Like you could do so much more on your phone now. So I don't have any need for a replacement, but I would like something. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Depending on what you use it for. I mean, tablets are very inexpensive these days.
They are.
So you can definitely pick one up. I found, as I was moving, I found my original Kindle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I had one I wanted at CES. I don't know how many years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. I found my original Kindle. which was pretty cool. Old man in the chat says he, he bought two more keyboards. So he's adding to his keyboard collection. Talking about keyboard collections. So I only kept like half of the keyboards that I had. I gave a lot away. I had way too many keyboards to justify keeping. So I sold a couple. I gave a bunch away, but I kept like 15. I might make a keyboard wall. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I haven't decided yet if that's what I'm going to do. But he picked up the EpoMaker EK6865% and the EpoMaker Dynatab 75. I've been really happy with EpoMaker keyboards, and they've been on sale on Amazon too. He said they're 50% off on Amazon, and the EpoMaker Dynatab 75 was open box. So that's awesome. Yeah, the EpoMaker, like, surprisingly low-cost, pre-built mechanical keyboards. You never know when it comes to, like, pre-builts. And before reviewing them, I had never heard of them. But they are really good quality, good switches. I was actually really impressed. So I would definitely recommend those if you're looking for a cool kind of mechanical keyboard. But I forgot to mention that I went to YouTube campus, which was kind of cool. So YouTube had an event.
Got invited to an event. That's very cool.
And it was kind of cool. I got to meet a bunch of creators. Some interesting tech creators were there, which was kind of fun. And got to see, it was all about YouTube shopping, which if you ever watch some of our latest videos, you can buy the product like directly on, I don't know if you buy it on YouTube or like you can, it directs you to where you can buy it. And obviously we get a commission from that, but that's what this event was about. But it was cool to see like YouTube campus and what they have going on, and got to talk directly to like the team that's making YouTube shopping and everything like that. So that was really cool.
You sent me, was there a lot of people there?
Yeah, this was like their big event. I guess this is the second time they've done this. It's like right before the holidays, they have like a big event.
That one building you showed that was like black on the inside, I think it looks huge.
Yeah, so that is it's an old,
like a cafeteria.
No, it's so it was like an old movie studio. It's like a famous old movie studio.
Oh, okay, that makes sense because you can build big, huge sets inside of there.
Something famous was like made in there. Some guy was telling, and it's all made of wood. It's all made of like old wood. Like it was really cool to be inside. I forget what it's.
That building looks really cool.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool to meet other creators. There was like a lot of like beauty influencers and like home influencers there, and there was like a handful of us tech creators, but it was cool to meet other tech creators and talk to them and everything like that. So that was really cool. Nice. I posted some of that on our social media, so if you want to see that, there are some pictures of that there. And then of course I moved, which is a big thing. Everything is coming together. So definitely stay tuned for a lot of content coming out, you know, on this space and what I'm going to be doing in this space, but definitely happy with it. Hopefully it's less loud during the podcast. I'm further away from the road, but you can still hear it, but it's a little bit further away from the road. But yeah, excited. And I guess my internet's like 200 megabytes faster or 200 megabits faster. We tested. I was getting a gig down, and now I'm getting 1200, which is good. So a little bit faster, same company, same AT&T fiber, same thing, but a little bit faster over here, maybe less congested. Nice. Over here. So
yeah,
Skylar's coming in for the end of the podcast. We're about to end here. but good to see you here as well, Sky. So yeah, guys, that is it. Of course, we're going to be back on our normal schedule. So again, every Wednesday, unless we have something else going on, but we are going to be gaming after this. So jump on over to Twitch if you want to hang out. Ryan runs that stream. We're playing some Apex Legends here. So twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Jump over there and we will have that stream up, and we will see everybody next week.